Welcome to This Week in Waukesha, the podcast series, podcast number 3, brought to you by WAUK 540 AM and Civic Media. I am your host, Downtown Donnie Brown, coming to you from downtown, from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, located in Work Hub Studios. And I am joined by my amazing producer, who is in the comfort of someone's home, dog sitting, the mighty Max Martinson. This could make a good fodder for a movie. So, but in previous podcasts, the first two, I keep promising to talk about this special dinner I had with my wife at Mia's. Every month or every couple months, they do a special dinner. They've had like a James Bond night. I think there was something like a Octopus's Garden, or so it was like a seafood night. I don't know if I have the right name, but Bo Blass, the owner of Mia's, will be joining us in the next podcast. So he'll tell us more about it. But I would be remiss if I didn't give my review of the. It was on Monday, June 16th, the day after my birthday and Father's Day. It's kind of my my wife's birthday Father's Day gift. We went to Mia's for the Bob Ross dinner. That's right, Bob Ross, and you know, we talk about, you know, the mission of This Week in Waukesha is to act locally, think globally. And Bo's doing that at Mia's with these special dinners because he's bringing in some international flavors, some unique cuisines, and some unique concepts. And with each course, there was like a presentation from Bo, and he talked about his affinity for Bob Ross. I think at one time, when he had a TV in his room, I think his dad took his cable away. The only TV he could watch was like PBS, and so he became a big fan of Bob Ross's, the late artist who loved drawing trees. And so that was the name of the dinner was called Happy Little Trees, which Bob Ross loved to paint in his lifetime and on his shows. And so it was neat because there was a starter course that wasn't even on the menu, and it was these like they were really light chips, and they were like. And what should I say? Oh, and there was like a kind of a red sauce and like a cold red sauce you could dip them in. It was really nice. It was just a great little starter. And it was a surprise because it wasn't on the menu. That was fun. And then the drinks in between, there was the it was really fun. It was a plate that had a clear drink on rocks. Turned out it was like a vodka press or something. And then you had four little plastic cups with different colors. And I forget the flavors. I'm guessing like there was like a reddish orange one. Those maybe like a raspberry or some sort of berry. There was a rum chata. So it was a really thick white one. And I forget the other. Another one was like a lime green, and there was a blue. And the idea was, is you were to pour these at your own discretion into the drink and try to make your drink into like an art form. And it was we had fun doing it. Mine, I think I might have put a little too much rum chata in it, but the drink was good. So it was, we were painting just like Bob along the way. And so it was neat. And, you know, Bo gave some tips on what we could do in terms of making the drinks. And but there were no wrong answers, so which was great. So, and the first actual food course was Happy Little Trees salad. It was Alaskan, what we called it, like an Alaskan salad. It had some great morels and berries and wild greens. There was even some some flower petals in there that were edible, and some blue cheese chunks, which I love. And so that was a really nice start. We had a pasta course, and it was just like little spoonfuls of pasta, like four little spoonfuls. And then they were joined by four tubes, like toothpaste tubes, but each tube had a different type of pasta sauce. And one was like, you know, your traditional maybe tomato base kind of pasta. Another one was like a pesto that was amazing. There was one with like kind of a duck, you know, oil that you could, you know, it's very fatty and flavorful. And gosh, the fourth one escapes me. It'll come to me. But they were all really good. And you just, on each little clump of pasta, you know, you poured your sauce on and you ate it, and it was fun. It was the, and then, and it was like on a the serving, the plate was actually like a board that the artists use that have like their paint colors on them, the little blotches. And I forget what you call that artist board, but it has that kind of that rounded shape. I think most of you know what I'm talking about. The big course was a rather large steak, and it was done, I believe it was like a black and blue, or served like rare to medium rare. It's really good. And it had some different sauces you could try. And it had, you know, every one of these courses had a drink that came with it. And so that made it fun as well. And the dessert was like this. It was like a budino, but it was kind of like a chocolate cake, or like a flourless chocolate cake. It had like a chocolate kind of milky sauce around it that goes like swimming in it. And it was just outstanding. It was just to die for. And what a great night. What a great way to kick off the summer for us, too. And so that's what you get in downtown Waukesha. There's a lot of these great special dinners. And, you know, I'm sure if you go to Chef Pam's, because they have those special dinners that people sign up for, that, of course, Mia's isn't the only place doing it. But how fun it is as we see more and more options in downtown Waukesha and more fun things to do. And this was a Monday night, and a night when many of the restaurants are closed, that Bo opened his doors for his special dinners. The next one's on July 14th. There may be a few seats remaining. Like when we were there on June 16th, there was like 7 spots remaming, and it fills up pretty quickly. So when Bo comes on, he'll tell us if there's any left, but he's got a full calendar. There will be other events, throughout the summer and throughout the year. And I believe he's on kind of a monthly track. So look for these special dinners, and and just check out all the other great dining options that we have here in downtown and throughout the city. It's really something to behold, to see all these places doing well. You know, by the way, when we had our special dinner, we had the great fortune of being seated with, it was a four top. My wife and I were seated with Pat Hannon, whose family is Hannon's Bar, that hosted that great Les Paul 110th birthday party, and his fiance Erin McGroovy, who many of you know from Nice Ash Cigar Bar, where she tends bar, but she also has her own little one gal rock and roll band, or the kind of folk rock, and she performs a lot. I think she might even perform at Nice Ash, but really had a lot of fun sitting with them, especially after I had the pleasure of meeting them both at the Les Paul birthday party. And I know my wife had a lot of fun meeting them, and so I'm already looking forward to summer because we're making some great new friends, and looking forward to seeing more great things throughout the summer. We have yet to check out a Friday Night Live, and unfortunately we're going to have to miss the next two because we'll be traveling. So looking forward to catching up with all of those. And so it's probably good that I get a break from all the eating. It's funny, I was in Vernon Hills this past weekend for another softball tournament, and I had to miss the first game because I was doing the podcast with Mayor Riley, and it was great. It was two great podcasts with Sean, and I encourage you to listen to those, especially since Mayor Riley will be stepping down or retiring after his third term as mayor. So we shared a lot of great memories, and we talked about the future and some of the challenges we have ahead. But anyway, while I was waiting for my wife to pick me up, because the second game wasn't for another couple hours, I went into the fitness room at the hotel to put my, do some walking, to work out a little bit. As I was checking out my daughter's game and the game changer, I felt like Billy Bean in Moneyball, the Brad Pitt character, when he would never watch the games. He'd just be in the fitness room. And I kind of got excited. My daughter had an RBI single. I think it was the game-winning run. And it's like I could feel the same crack of the bat that Brad Pitt heard when in the movie when Hattie hits the big homer. But hope I didn't ruin that for anybody. But anyway, I got on the scale, and again, I'm trying to get under 200, unsuccessful. I think I've managed to get from 210, 212 down to like 205 or 4. We're getting there. But this said I weighed 160. I'm like, no way. And makes you wonder if the hotels do that on purpose so people can splurge when they go to dinner. And, hey, I've earned this holiday. Or it just hasn't been fixed, but either way, it was nice to at least believe for a moment that I could, because that's the weight I should be at with my height, is I should be somewhere in the neighborhood of like 160, 165. So we shall wait and see. So taking a moment here. One of the advantages of working in the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown at the Work Hub Studios is I get to try some really great liqueurs that my host, Mary Jane Sanchez, has. And I'm glad that in order for her to notice, she'll have to listen to my podcast. So maybe I hope she's not listening. This was actually it's a tequila infused with prickly pear. And it's really lovely. It's a great little sipping tequila. You know, we don't shoot that one. It's a really nice and it's keeping me going here in our in podcast number 3. How about it? So, but I tell you, if there's one common theme in these podcasts is that we are. I'm always talking about softball and about my daughter's tournaments and all the travel that's going on. And it really is. It's a big commitment. I've mentioned this in previous podcasts or radio shows that the youth sports industry is a $19 billion industry. And for some reason, softball, and I think baseball does the same thing. They have their tryouts for the next year's teams, the next year's clubs in the middle of July, which you'd think would still be like kind of the heart of the season. But for many of them, it's when, and that's not true. No, I say, yeah, maybe some of the big tournaments end by then, but a lot of teams are still playing through all the way through July and sometimes through early August and later. And, of course, when they join their new team around that time, then they're playing fall ball. And boy, we participated in like maybe 9 tournaments in the fall, which when you think of like the other sports that kids are playing, my daughter also plays volleyball. And then you think about like homecoming and all the things that are meaningful to these kids. You know, this is like the best years of your life, and especially in the fall in high school. And as much as you may love to play softball, you know, do you really want to be in a hotel somewhere in a different state or a different part of this state when you'd rather maybe be with your friends, you know, cheering on the football team to victory or and it's funny, the games, the student section at the games are a game in and of itself. These schools get awarded for best spirit in Waukesha South, even though we haven't really had many teams to brag of since the Ken Holub era. The student section, the way they get all decked out and the spirit that they show, they've won a lot of these awards for sportsmanship and school spirit. And it really is quite the festival event. And so it's, you know, to try to balance that with your school social life, with your schoolwork. If you're playing more than one sport, the volleyball team you're on currently, I don't know how they do it. And then again, with the tryouts coming out like this, these past few days, these past couple of weeks, it's been like a reality TV show, like hearing different parents talk to you, like, you know, is your daughter going to stay? You're going to go to another team? Are you going to another club? Are you going to be, I mean, it's just, the water cooler talk's amazing. And it's like, hey, don't tell anybody this, but this and that, or, you could tell this person this, but not that. And, it really is quite the, emotional roller coaster. I mean, for the parents, and maybe as parents, maybe we're getting too involved. I try to keep, I try to keep out as much as I can. But what I really want to see is, and I'll never stop lobbying for this, is a day when, and we have a wonderful parks and rec program, but by design, our parks, like the baseball is not as robust as it once was when we were kids, because they're giving way to these club teams that people are investing thousands of dollars on each year for the kids to be in. But the great thing about rec baseball when I was growing up, and it could be a reality again, is for $25 or whatever that fee was, from 9 to 12 every morning, Monday through Friday, you could play. And your coaches were like high school players or college students that played. and they're not necessarily playing favorites, or just they're teaching you, and you're doing drills and you're doing fun things. You're scrimmaging a lot, and maybe most of the time, but it's that repetition that you get in rec baseball, in that traditional program that's almost non-existent, that you simply don't get in these club teams where you pay thousands of dollars and you play year round. And the cold weather, you're playing indoors. I really don't know how much benefit there is to that. But it's during that time when the snow melts, when the weather's warm, that's your best opportunity to develop that mental muscle, that baseball, softball muscle, playing every day and practicing fielders, practicing your hitting, practicing your throwing, you know, all the things, your steps, your running, your just the science of the game. And it's something that we, you know, I'd love to see Waukesha really take a hard look at. And I know we're in a bit of a financial crunch, but believe it or not, our parks can be revenue generators, serious ones. And this is what I would petition the council to do, is to do a, what do you call it, a referral, where you're, the city conducts a study. We look at other cities like, where were we at? Bloomington, Minnesota, Peoria, Illinois, cities about the same size as Waukesha. We were in Vernon Hills last weekend, using parks, district parks. So you're paying the rent right away. The city's getting rent money from that for several games. From there could be anywhere from 10 to 25 or 30 teams, maybe more, given the parks that we have. And then think for a moment of the hotel nights being paid for, the seats, the butts and seats at restaurants, the gas, the liquor, soda, food, all the things you need. That's those are great revenue generators for a city, especially in the summer when, you know, we don't have a Springs there anymore. We're not the great resort we once were in the 19th century, but we have the infrastructure, especially with this Rempe Farm that has not been developed. I think it's just been designated as a preserve. But for 42 acres, there's a lot of opportunity to create a sports complex, an indoor, outdoor softball and baseball complex with a hospitality, a reception component, bar/banquet hall, where teams, families can hold birthday parties, celebrations of life, weddings, baptisms, you name it. And just eating there every day when you're watching your kids play, that those could be some real wins for the city. And that's what could fund easily affordable rec baseball programs where every kid from every family gets to play. Right now, as it exists, youth sports is the Jim Crow. It's the new Jim Crow, and that there's a lot of lower income families, a lot of families of color that simply can't afford to have their kids participating in baseball, the great American pastime, as well as all the other sports. And that's criminal. That's a shame. And that's something we as residents of Waukesha, I think we have an opportunity to change or to do something about. So call your alders and ask, what's going on with Rempe Farm? Why can't we make it better? What's the plan? There's yet to be, in the city's plans, there's yet to be anything really formal or specific about that. Now, it's great that for now it's a preserve and they're not, you know, paving paradise and and tearing down trees. And I'm not necessarily an advocate for that. But as I understand it, when I was on the council and I voted for it, it was a farm. And so there's still a lot of open space that could be converted into a very big field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. Speaking of coming, I know we will have Bo Blask will be on deck soon. He should be checking in for podcast number 4. And I'm amazed that I made it this far. But again, I want to thank the mighty Max Martinson for making all this possible. It does a great job as our producer. I want to thank Civic Media and WAUK 540 AM for supporting this podcast. I want to thank all of you as well. And would love to hear your stories. If you have a story to tell, please reach out to me on social media. Or through Civic Media. I'd love to hear your story. I know a lot of other listeners, especially if it's about Waukesha or it's about the life we live today. So thanks again to everybody for joining us on this hot summer night. And stick around for podcast number 4. Please remember, safety is everyone's responsibility. Good mental health is everybody's right. Go Ramila Mahagav Galer, and see ya!